we continue this morning with our study of 1 Peter. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, we have seen God's Word directed to us in the area of submission. Submission in all areas of our lives, beginning with the human institutions, the authorities that are placed over us. In verse 18, Peter was speaking to us about being submissive servants. And I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that at the very heart of this passage is the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, beginning at verse 21 and through verse 25, because all of our attitudes about submission and service are hinged on that concept, that theology, that understanding of who Christ is and what He has done and how He is to be our example. And without understanding that, submission to human institutions, submission as servants, and now submission as wives and husbands, members of the body of Christ, would be meaningless without understanding Christ's submission. Follow along with me as I begin in chapter 2, verse 21. Although the text in your bulletin says chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, I do not want to leave out the context here and the emphasis upon which this passage is based. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, and reading through chapter 3, verse 7. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and the Guardian of your souls. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. We'll stop there with a note that the grass withers, the flowers fade and fall, but the words of our Lord God endure forever. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would refresh us with Your Word. You would remind us, Lord, of our position in Christ, that You would give us renewed eagerness to be obedient to Your Word, to fulfill the command of being submissive and subject to one another in the Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, this is one area, I think, of our lives, of our families, of the church, the foundation even of the society that we live in, that is being attacked constantly. What is a marriage? We see even now a bill our president wants to push before the Congress about sanctifying, in a sense, what marriage is. Because he, I believe, understands the truth of this word, that if that marriage and the family and the understanding of what a family is split apart, then the enemy has won. There will be chaos. There will be distortions of truth. There will be sin running rampant in our world. Because this, if we don't understand the very heart of our families and the sanctity of life and the church and the progress of our community in this world, is hinged, I believe, on a true and faithful understanding of God's Word, of what the family is and what our relationships are to one another. Peter gives us here the essential ingredients for what I believe constitutes a successful marriage, a happy marriage. And he begins here with words directed to the wives. Now, I've had people in churches, when I get to this point, accuse me of meddling, right? I think it's easy to talk about the government. It's easy to talk about being servants. It's easy to talk about being submissive when it's someone else. But when it comes to speaking about submission and subjection, when we're talking about being a wife or being a husband, we've gone from preaching to meddling. But be aware that this is God's word. It's not mine. It's God's word to us. Profitable for teaching, rebuke, for correction, and training in righteousness. Peter gives us the essential ingredients for a happy and a healthy and a successful marriage and home. And he begins with the first ingredient. He says, follow the example of Christ. By those words in chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. He says, in the same manner, in the same way, that refers back to that passage that I read in chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. It refers to that example of Christ, following in His footsteps, tracing the outline, the pattern of His life in our lives. Because see, much of what we learn in life, whether you believe it or not, doesn't come from hearing. It comes from seeing, it comes from watching, and it comes from doing. Granted, we learn by what we hear. But we also learn that there are inconsistencies in the way people say they believe and what they do. Children imitate us as parents, whether we like it or not. They follow our example. They walk in our footsteps often. Adolescents imitate their peers, much to our dismay. Adults imitate what we see in the world. The role models we follow influence us in every area of our lives. See, but when a Christian couple, when families begin to imitate the world and get their standard from Hollywood instead of from heaven, there's going to be trouble in the home. If both partners will imitate Jesus Christ in His submission, in His obedience, in His desire to serve. See, there will be, there has to be a healthy home. That doesn't mean there won't be conflict. It doesn't mean there won't be trouble. But there'll be solidarity and unity and peace in the context of the home. You know, here's the rub though. How do we follow someone's example if we don't know that someone? How do we follow somebody if we haven't been following them? How do we follow Christ if we don't follow Him? How do we follow Him if we don't know Him? One might say if we don't know Him, we're not following His Word. We're not reading His Word. We're not reading the Scriptures. We're not taking them into our heart and into our home and meditating upon that Word and praying, seeking to encourage each other through that Word. I stand here before you and tell you, don't follow my example, because I'm the greatest of sinners when it comes to doing this. And I think all of us have our shortcomings. All of us can find fault with this example that is given before us. Fault in our lives. Because we don't submit to one another. We don't, out of obedience to our Lord, desire to serve one another. Because even in the context of every one of our homes, we struggle with that. Following the example of Christ. The first ingredient. The second is to learn biblical submission. Now, I stopped reading chapter 3, verse 7. That's not to say I don't think those words are important, where it says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor, Peter says, as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Paul even tells us, husbands, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And I think the position of these verses don't indicate their importance. All Scripture is important. But I think if there's any problem in a family, any difficulty at any point, it gets back very easily to the husband, who's not doing what he's supposed to be doing when it comes to submission to the Lord and being an example to his family and to his wife. All that to say, guys, get ready, because our time is coming under the microscope and the scrutiny of God's Word. But today, it's the
for women.
Learn biblical submission, Peter says. Now men pay attention because this applies to us as well. But he says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive, be subject to your husbands. The second ingredient for that happy home, successful family and marriage, is to learn biblical submission. Two times in this paragraph that's mentioned, Peter reminds Christian wives that they are to be submissive to their husbands, that they are to be subject to their husbands. Be submissive, be subject. That's a military term that Peter uses here that means to place in rank, to place in order. God has a place for everything under the sun. He's ordained various levels of authority that we've already seen. There's the government, there's masters, there's servants, there's husbands, there's wives, there's children. God has ordained that the husband be the head of the home. You go back and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Paul speaks to that in some length. And as the husband is the head of the home and he submits to Christ, his wife, Peter says, should submit to him. Be subject to him. And as I said a few weeks ago, this idea of submission, and especially as it comes to the relationship between a husband and a wife in the context of marriage, is something that the world hates because they see this word, submission, as describing a rug that one would walk on. Be subject to me and let me walk over you and on you. That's not the context here. Because as Peter speaks to the wives, he gives three reasons, he says, that Christian wives should submit to their head, to their husband, even, and he qualifies this, even if the husband, he says, is disobedient to the word. Now, how many of us husbands in here are always obedient to the word? Never. Here we may be able to learn something from our wives, Scripture says. Three reasons why a Christian wife should submit to her husband, even if the husband is disobedient to the word. He says, first of all, submission's not an option, it's an obligation. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. Won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Won by example. God has commanded submission in the context of the family, husbands and wives, because in His wisdom, He knows that that's the best arrangement for a fulfilling marriage, for a happy home. Subjection does not mean that the wife is inferior to the husband. Doesn't mean inferiority. Verse 7 makes it clear that the husbands are heirs together in Christ. There's no inferior position here. The man and the woman are made by the same Creator, out of basically the same material. Adam from the dirt, the earth. Eve out of the rib, in the side of man, in subjection to man. God gave dominion, He gave power and authority to both Adam and Eve. Go to Genesis 1:28. Cultural mandate. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and fill it. Man and woman, He gave that charge too. And in Jesus Christ, you see, there is no slave or free man. There is no Jew or Gentile. There is no male or female. We are one in Christ. This idea of submission is not an idea of subservience. Submission has to do with order and authority. And in any organization, there has to be someone who's in charge. Someone who has a finger pointed at him, as God will do to the men who have families in this room as we stand before Him, as He will do to me as I stand before Him and answer for what I have done with you. See, submission has nothing to do with subservience, with being a slave. It has everything to do with order and authority in an organization, in a family. Even the private in an army may be a better person than the five-star general, but he's still a private. See, there's still that authority, that order. There has to be order and authority and submission and service. Even Christ Himself became a servant and submitted to God's will. There is nothing degrading about submitting to authority or God's natural order. Peter says it's the very first step toward fulfillment, toward encouragement, toward a well-organized, well-run, well-oiled family that runs according to God's plan and His Word. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord, which makes it clear to us that both husband and wife together are to submit to Christ. So submission, first of all, is an obligation. See, the wife doesn't have a choice. The husband has no choice. The children have no choice. If we want to be obedient to God through Christ. Secondly, he says, submission is an opportunity. An opportunity to be an example to those in the family who are unruly, who are sinners. An opportunity, Peter says, even to win an unsaved husband or a disobedient husband to correct him with words. Does it say that? Does it say stand there and berate your husband because he's done wrong? Does it say stand there and nag because he has done wrong? No. What does it say? Look at the text. Be submissive to your own husband so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won, how? Without a word, by the behavior of their wives. God commands submission, and he uses it as a powerful spiritual influence in the home. How's that done? Without a word. Now, doesn't mean without the word of God, but without our human words, without talk, without a lot of speaking and nagging and preaching, simply by doing and watching. So submission is an opportunity. It's the character and the conduct of a godly wife that will win the disobedient husband and win him over as she reflects the example of Christ that is at the heart of this passage in verse 21 through 25 of chapter 2. And as she reflects submission and understanding love and compassion and kindness and patience and goodness and gentleness and self-control through the Spirit, and finds that submission is an opportunity to proclaim the goodness of Christ in the context of the home. What else is submission for the wife? Submission, Peter says, is an ornament. Verses 3 through 6. Your adornment, he says, must not be merely external. Braiding of the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Now that's not as opposed to nothing. Putting on dresses as in garish, sequined, bright and beautiful to attract attention to the woman doesn't mean we can't wear those. Or you can. I won't. Or adornment. Or jewelry. It doesn't mean, and Peter doesn't say that you can't. But he does say, be careful to the extreme which you do those things. Adorning in that Greek word is, we get our word cosmos from that, which is an interesting concept here. We get our English word cosmos, which is the universe, the ordered universe, from which we get our word cosmetics. Now, many women put on cosmetics in order to put things in order, right? To make them appear better than they really are. And you don't need it. Women, God has made you to reflect His image and His glory. See, this word is the opposite of chaos. Peter warned the Christian wife not to major on external decorations and adornment, but to major on internal character. The character that is reflected without all the adornment. Roman women of the day competed with one another in the way that they dressed, in the way that they did their hairdos, in the jewelry that they wore, and the elaborate costumes that they put on, expensive garments, all for the purpose of one thing, impressing one another and attracting their men. See, that was it, to get attention, drawn to themselves. Peter doesn't and didn't forbid the wearing of jewelry or the wearing of beautiful clothes. What he did forbid was the wearing of these things as an outward show in order to draw attention to ourselves. The Christian wife's beauty, Peter says, should come from within. But let it be, rather than all the external adornment, the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle, a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. As an example, he gives one here who must have been ravishingly beautiful, Sarah. And we see pictures of her in movies that are portrayed, Abraham and the Pharaoh in this time. And of course, Hollywood dolls everybody up that puts them before the cameras, right? And I doubt that Sarah did that. She was naturally beautiful. She was one that called Abraham Lord. Even when they went into Egypt, and he said, I have an idea. You're so beautiful, right? Why don't you go to Pharaoh, not as my wife, so that I am not persecuted. Can't you hear one of you, if your husbands came to you and said that to you? What would you do? I'm not going to go do that. Why? I can hear just 50 different reasons why that shouldn't happen. And what did Sarah do? She did it. She went. Scripture doesn't record that she grumbled, that she complained, that she nagged, that she begged not to go. She went. And here is one that called her husband Lord. Peter gives Sarah as an example of a submission
submissive wife.
One who without question obeys,
submits,
falls in line in subjection to her head, her husband. A believing wife who submits to Christ and to her husband, who cultivates a meek and gentle and quiet spirit, will never be afraid. Will never be one who is called into question. God is going to watch over her, even when her unbelieving husband may cause problems and difficulties. See, we, everyone sitting here who has faith and is trusting in Jesus Christ, is the seed of Abraham. If we are believers in Christ Jesus, we are descendants, a follower of the faithful. If you are a woman sitting here and you are married, Peter says you are the daughter of Sarah. But only if you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and do not become intimidated by what the world tells you you should be. See, children do reflect the character and the qualities of their parents. We are children of the one true God. Jesus Christ, it might be said, is our brother who brings us into the very presence of God. Are we, by these definitions of terms, children of Abraham, fathers of the faithful? Or are we sons of Satan following the world? No, if someone came into this room today as we break up here and leave and fellowship with one another, would they be able to tell that you and that you, men, women, and children, are sons and daughters of God? Maybe so here, but what about tomorrow as you go into the workplace, as you go into the grocery store, as you have to discipline your children, as we interact with one another in restaurants, in public places? Could we be charged with being children of the one true God? You know, the world has a different standard for us, and by all measures, it's much easier to follow the way of the world than it is the way of the Word. But by God's grace, He's given us the ability to submit to Him, even when we don't understand, even when we're perplexed at the reasons why. God tells us that at the heart of our world, at the center of our lives, is a godly family that submits as unto Christ to one another. May we go this week, wherever it may be, putting into practice these words of submission and love. Heavenly Father, how we love You, Lord. How we want to obey You. As obedient children coming into the presence of our Heavenly Father, we seek to do what is right in Your presence and with one another. And yet, Lord, we often fall so short of following that example, the one who gave His all on our behalf. Walking in His footsteps, Lord, we often go astray. But we come to You and we ask for Your forgiveness. And we do so with confidence, Lord, because You have told us that when we confess our sins, that You are faithful, You are just, that You will forgive us our sins, and You will cleanse us of our unrighteousness. And we come before You now and ask that. We confess our sins individually, corporately. We pray, Lord, that You would lead the way for us to be examples of Christ in our homes, in our places of work, wherever we go. That the men, even as the women, will reflect the light and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we would serve as examples to those who seek to follow us. Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.